Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. While this message is for everyone, in a sense, in particular, it is for what I'll say, the youth. So you young folks tonight, have your Bibles ready. I might need a couple volunteers a little bit later. But listen up. Amen. To a very, very important message.
Amen.
They all are from the Bible. I get Amen. That. But it's a very, very important message for you. 2 Samuel 23, let's stand together. We'll read seven verses, verses 1 through 7. As we continue here in the life of David, we'll read responsively tonight, if you don't mind. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, all the way down to verse 7. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Boy, I want to stop there.
Amen.
I want to shout that out to America. And our leaders in Washington.
Amen.
He that ruleth over men must be just, Amen. Ruling in the fear of God. That's a message in and of itself.
Amen.
We're not going to do that. All right, verse 4. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant,
Amen.
Ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire,
Amen.
Although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear. And they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. He stops there. It's an interesting set of verses, isn't it? Let's see what we can learn from them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this evening. It's just a joy to be in your house. I've enjoyed the singing already and just your people lifting up our voices to thee. What a blessing that is. And Father, as we come before thee and we continue here in the life of David, Lord, I pray as I preach the message I believe you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lead and direct my thoughts and my words this evening, and may your word have free course tonight.
Amen.
And Father, I pray in particular for every young person here tonight, that they would learn from this, and all of us would, as we listen to the wisdom of this man,
Amen.
King David. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. And we ask your blessing now and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. In our text tonight, as I mentioned, I believe, in the last sermon that I preached on King David, we are now drawing even closer to the end of King David's life. Although there are still several things, there's more preaching to be done about David, and there's several things that are still going to happen before his homegoing. In 1 Kings 2:10, for example, we'll see a description of David's mighty men. In verse 8, the very next verse, we're going to talk about David's mighty men. Then in chapter 24, we're going to see David's going to number Israel wrongly. He'll do that. We'll deal with that. And then when we get into the book of 1 Kings, we'll see his appointment of his son, the heir apparent to the throne, King Solomon, to be the next king while David's on his deathbed. So there's still some things to be had. But notice what we read in our text in verse 1. We've come to the place where we read, "Now these be the last words of David." David is now up in years. David is what we would call aged, the elderly. And David is about to speak. Now, this ought to cause all of us to have our ears perk up. When we hear of a man that's been through everything that he's been through, standing there at the end of his life about to say something, this old man, if you don't mind that phrase, I do not mean it in a derogatory way, but elderly man, however you want to phrase it, is going to talk.
Amen.
We should listen.
Amen.
But will we give it the attention that it deserves? You know, American culture is unlike many other cultures around the world in many, many ways. Sometimes if we've never traveled outside the world, we think we got it all, down pat. That's a silly statement. Broaden your horizons a little bit. There's other cultures out there. And we are, no doubt, unlike many cultures in this world in many ways. One of the ways that America is unique, and not in a good way, by the way, is this. We look down upon the elderly and glorify the youth. That's what we do. That's what we do in America. You see, in America, the elderly are looked down upon. They're viewed as irrelevant. They're viewed as ignorant, as old-fashioned, as out of touch with reality and with the latest technology. After all, they talk too slow, they move too slow, they can't hear. They're seen as a burden to society, a ball and chain, if you will, around society's neck. Can I tell you tonight, that's a Western culture phenomenon. It's not like that anywhere else, like it is in America. November 26, 2012, there was an article published in the U.S. News and World Report, written by Dave Bernard, and it's entitled How Society Misunderstands the Elderly. He writes, our society devalues old age in many ways. And this is particularly true in the United States, where individualism, self-reliance, and independence are highly valued. Almost every stereotype we associate with being elderly is something negative. This is what he writes, and it's true, by the way. Some terms typically used to describe older folks can be far from flattering, including wrinkled, grumpy, crotchety, absent-minded, forgetful, fragile, feeble, stuck in the past their prime, or a burden on society, just to name a few. The author wisely goes on to write this in the same article. He says, quote, it may be time for our culture to reevaluate how it perceives the elderly.
Right.
And I want to say amen to that.
Amen.
And I'll show you why in a moment. Another writer writes this, in Western cultures, youth is fetishized, and the elderly are commonly removed from the community and relegated to hospitals and nursing homes. Aging is seen as a shameful experience. The elderly are made to feel like there's something wrong with them, and they are losing value. Aging has become a shameful experience, and there is a fear of aging. That's the way it is in America. That's the way it is. And we're fools because of it.
Right.
We're foolish.
Amen.
You see, if you were to speak to people of other cultures or to visit other cultures, you'd find that in most cultures, the elderly are greatly respected.
Right.
They're seen in a totally different way as they're seen in America. In places like Greece and Korea, India and Native Americans and other places, the elderly are seen as being greatly respected in their culture.
Right.
They look up to them. They're seen as the head of the family. They're viewed as reservoirs of knowledge, reservoirs of wisdom, reservoirs of life experience. People who can pass down all the wisdom that they've learned over the years. People that have been down the road, by the way. They've been there, done that, and wore the t-shirt, if you know what I mean. They've lived through and have experienced history firsthand, and they can teach us from the experiences they've had. And the youth would never in those places show them disrespect. Never. They'd never not seek their advice. They would never make fun of them. They would never see them as unprofitable or a burden on society. They would never not take care of them.
Right.
That's how it's done in other cultures.
Amen.
See, in most cultures, the aged, old age is honored, respected, and even celebrated. You say, well, that's just the way they do it. Well, how about this? What does the Bible say?
Amen.
Why don't we take a look at what God's Word says?
Amen.
It's not about what culture does and what culture doesn't. It's about what the Word of God says.
Amen.
So if the Word of God says America's right, then we're right. If the Word of God says that these other cultures are right, then they're right. And may I say something? We're wrong. If you're 30 or under, I want you to stand with a Bible in your hand, if you don't mind. I won't embarrass you. It's easy. It's just standing. It's just standing. It's not going to kill you, okay? Bible in your hand. All right, let's open to, all of us go to Leviticus chapter 19. I want to show you something here. I could go to 35, but that's, you know, where I chose to cut off. Look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. And we're going to read this together, those of you that are standing, and we could help them. Leviticus 19:32. Do we get there? Notice, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Would we all read that together, and especially those that are standing up? Ready, begin. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Stop there. You know, that has the idea of honor. You know, when someone comes into the room that you honor, you stand. That you have respect for, you stand up. That's what he's saying here. Let's read it again together. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Stay there. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Because I'm going to qualify that by another verse. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. Because he's not talking about, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, that just because someone is old that we should respect and listen to them and honor what they say. There's a little bit more to it. Notice Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Let me get there. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Notice the word if. Please stay standing. I won't be much longer, okay? Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head, the gray hair, the elderly, notice, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. That means that you as a young person should look to the elderly if they are living for God, for knowledge, for wisdom, and for as your example.
Amen.
Yes, we go to the Bible. I get that. But if you see someone that is elderly, that is living for God, that has been down the road, they can help you. They can help you a lot and help me a lot. So every young person should sit at the feet of people like, and I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, and I'm sure I'm going to leave someone out, so don't get mad at me, but people like Bill Berryhill.
Amen.
Listen to people like that. Carol Church.
Amen.
Jack and Mary Walton, Bruce and Pat Walton, the Stevens, the Browse, the Evans, the Buckleys, those that have been down the road, those that have lived for God, man, they have a lot to say, and we can learn a lot from them. The question is, you standing especially, will you? I'm almost done with you. You're still going to stand for a little bit. They can tell you about things like marriage. Got a question about marriage? Ask them.
Amen.
You got a question about raising kids? Ask them.
Praise the Lord.
You have a question about serving God? You have a question about finances? Go to them, glean from them, listen to them. Stop looking to your peers. Stop going to Facebook and Pinterest and YouTube to these people that haven't figured it out yet either. Because you haven't figured it out. But these elderly people have, because they've been down the road. With all due respect to our young people, whom I love very much, you don't have a clue about life. You haven't been down the road. And there is a reservoir of godly, elderly people in this church that you should be looking to instead of the internet.
Right.
You can be seated. I chewed you up enough. Back to David. I was hoping we'd get back there soon. 2 Samuel 23. Here is this elderly man now that we have watched and followed and listened to all these years as we've been traveling through his life, speaking. He's saying something. A man who has experienced life and has lived for God through it all.
Amen.
I would venture to say that what he has to say here is worth listening to.
Right.
He's got some advice for us in these seven verses. So I'd like to speak on the subject of this, the speaking of a king.
Amen.
The speaking of a king. I'm going to need four volunteers. You guys thought, oh, here they are. I got them already. It's let's see, we'll have Caleb, you be number two. Nick, you be number one. And Isaiah be number three. And Olivia be number four. Okay, so who's number one? Raise your hand. Okay, Nick. Who's number two? Caleb, who's number three? All right, and who's number four? Good, we're ready to go. I want us to consider four pieces of advice that this elderly man, aged man that has lived for God, is going to give not only to all of us, but in particular to the young. Let's consider number one, would you write this down? The perspective that David had. If you're going to get through this life and live for God, you need to have the right perspective. Because the right perspective is going to humble you.
Right.
Look at verses 1 and 2. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Do you know in the world's eyes, David was a very successful man? Think about that for a moment. I mean, he was someone, he accomplished many things in his lifetime. We see two of them here in our text. The first accomplishment that is mentioned in our text, at least alluded to, is this. He was the ruler in Israel. He was a king.
Right.
Notice a man who was raised up on high. David, imagine this. David had reached the highest possible position in the entire nation.
Amen.
He was their king. Out of all the millions of people, men, that had lived in Israel, David was the one out of them all who was chosen to be king above his brothers and above everybody else.
Right.
And David's reign was a successful reign. It was a lengthy reign. He reigned for 40 years. He led the nation through many, many military battles. He was a skilled warrior and he was a skilled leader. David had achieved the top ranking position in the entire nation. That's pretty impressive if you ask me.
Right.
He was the ruler in Israel. But also he was secondly the writer in Israel. Man, notice we read, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. David had a rare combination of talents, did he not?
Amen.
I mean, here he was, this warrior, and then he's playing the harp. You don't see that very much. I mean, he was not only skilled in warfare, he was skilled in music.
Right.
Out of the 150 psalms that we find in the book of Psalms, by the way, which is the songbook of Israel, David wrote 73 of them. And possibly even more. So understand, David was a very skilled and talented and versatile man. Yet here at the end of his life, David is reminding us of something. Nick, come on up. I'm going to give you number one here. You can come on up and stand over here. Please remain socially distanced from Brother Cordy. Thank you very much. Lesson number one from the aged. Remember, I don't know if you can see that or not, everything I have is from God. Would you say that out loud? Can you? You can look at it this way. You think you got it? Go ahead. That's something to remember, isn't it? Amen. You see, of all the skill David had and all the talent that David had and all the accomplishments that David had achieved, he understood that those things were not a product of his ability. Everything that David did, everything that David accomplished, David understood it all came from God. It all was a gift from God. See, David had the right perspective of his achievements. Young person, lesson number one. Remember, everything you have is from God. You know, no wonder David said what he said in Psalm 28 and verse 7. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Every time David won a battle, every time David did something good, he didn't say, "Hey, look at me. Look at what I did." He didn't allow his pride to get in the way. David said, No. Praise God. Everything I've done, it's because God allowed me to do it. He had the right perspective.
Amen.
And as you and I go through life, we need to maintain that same perspective.
Amen.
As we advance in our lives and perhaps get a position or get things in fine, whatever it may be, we have to remember something. What Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing."
Amen.
We can't do a thing without him.
Praise the Lord.
The job you have,
right,
is from God.
The
family you have is from God.
The
spouse, the children you have, from God. The measure of health you have, the money you have, the ability you have, any wisdom that you have, any position that you have, any prosperity you have attained, are all because of God. There are no self-made men.
Amen.
Zero.
Praise the Lord.
All of it is of God. You see, when we recognize that, young person, as you do something good, you sing a good special, or you play an instrument, or you do something on the piano, or you accomplish something in school, don't thrust your chest out and pat yourself on the back. The only words that should leave your mouth are these three words: praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
He enabled me to do it. You see,
when
we have this attitude, we're thankful to God. When we have this attitude, we realize that we need to maintain our walk with God and keep our heart right with God. And we need to continually lean upon the Lord. Again, the age David is telling all of us tonight, he's saying everything that you and I have is from God.
Amen.
Lesson number one. I see another lesson. Not only, of course, David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Notice in verse 3, I think we find lesson number 2. So who's number 2? Is that you, Caleb? Come on up, Caleb. Stand here, and I'll give you your sign here in a moment. Let me say something here. Look at verse 3 and 4. "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." You see, as the aged David continues to speak about life, as he's speaking these last words, if you will, he tells us another principle that he has learned. The principle is principle number 2. And here it is, okay? I don't know if you can see it or not, but I'll do this. I'll try to stay socially distanced from you. Notice lesson number 2 from the age. Living God's way is the very best way to live. Lesson number one, everything I have is from God. Let's say it together. Help me out so I know you're with me. Ready? Everything I have is from God. Lesson number two, living God's way is the very best way to live. You see, David understood two things as he's looking back and learned through life. Number one is God's requirement. Notice the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake unto me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. You know, as a king, David, in earthly speaking, David could have lived any way he wanted to live and get by with it. There was nobody above him. I'm saying earthly speaking, right?
Right.
Nod, okay, good. He could have made any law he wanted to make.
Right.
He could have had anything he wanted to have. He was the supreme ruler in the land. But he learned something, young person. At the end of his life, he learned that the best way to live life, the best way to rule that kingdom, was to rule the kingdom justly.
Praise the Lord.
And in the fear of God.
Amen.
In other words, he learned to live in obedience to God's word.
Praise Jesus.
Was the best way to live.
Amen.
You learned that, young person, yet? Go over, if you would, hold your hand here. Go over to Micah chapter 6. Now, there's a little song that goes with this verse. I'm not going to sing it for you, and I know you're going to say amen right there, but that's okay. But there's a little song that goes with it. But here is God's formula for success. Hey, all of us, let's look at this. It's so important. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, this is not how you get saved. This is how you live the Christian life. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Here it is. But to do justly,
amen,
and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You see, as David is going through life, he understood that God had certain commands, certain requirements, certain things to obtain God's blessings, to have the peace and the joy that God wants us to have. And that is his requirements. And there they are. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Go back to our text. Because he not only learned God's requirements, he learned God's results. Look at verse 4 of 2 Samuel 23. And he shall be as the light of the morning. That's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you ever saw the light of the morning. We go hunting, and when it's hunting season, just wrapping up now, actually, it's almost over in a little bit. Man, you go out there in the dark, and it's kind of tough to find your spot. That's the one time I don't like, is going out when it's pitch black, you know, and you're trying to figure out where you are, and you're in the woods, you finally find a spot, and you're sitting there, then all of a sudden, here comes the sun. You know, what a joy it is to see that sun. It's such a blessing for that son to come up. And he, that person that walks with God and lives justly and rules in the fear of God, notice, shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. This is a pictorial description of the blessings that God gives us when we live for him.
Amen.
This is what God desires. And he wants to bless our life, and he'll bless it if we do that.
Amen.
You see, the aged David is trying to tell us something, as every elderly Christian looks back on life and tries to tell every younger Christian, trying to teach us that to have the most blessed life, to have the most joyful life, to have the most fruitful life and peaceful life, is to have a life that lives in obedience to God. I know some of you young people aren't convinced of that yet. You think your way's better. Ah, those people. They're just a bunch of killjoys, fuddy-duddies. Live their life, got nothing else to do but harp on the young people. That's not what's going on here.
Amen.
I think every Christian in this room would love for every young person to have a blessed life, to have a joyful life, to have the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about. How do you get that? When we live in obedience to his word. That's it. You deviate from God's word, you deviate from his blessings, and you miss his blessings. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. You know this. It's memorized.
Amen.
Psalm chapter 1. Let's look at it anyway. I wonder if we believe this. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's almost a mirror to what David's saying here in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Young person, listen to me tonight. That is a promise from God. You walk with me, and I'll bless your life. That's not my promise.
Amen.
That's God's promise. And then he gives us the flip side of it. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen.
Can I ask you something tonight? Do you believe that?
Well,
I memorize it. Yeah, God's word has to go from our head to our heart.
Amen.
That's the difference. I'm not asking, can you say it? I'm asking, do we believe it?
Right.
As I said a moment ago, many young people don't. They got this idea, well, I can get out of church. You know, when I turn 18, get my own way. I'm going to get out of church. I'm going to get away from God. I'm going to do things my own way. And it'll work out just fine for me. Don't be a fool. Listen, I get tired of picking up the pieces. Parents get tired of picking up the pieces of people that think that way. And their life is a mess. The Bible says this over and over. You see, your life won't turn out right if you don't live for God. It won't. There's no way around it. That's a lie of the devil when he says, oh, you can do your own thing, and boy, you'll have it better. You'll have more fun. No, you won't. You may have pleasure in sin for a season, but that season's going to end so very quickly.
Amen.
I mean, how many times we got to hear it in the Word of God? David's own son, King Solomon, told us the same thing at the end of his life in the book of Ecclesiastes. As we watched him go through all this stuff, seeking all kinds of worldly pleasures, and his conclusion was this in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He says, don't waste your life. Remember now. Walk with God when you're young. Live for God when you're young. Don't follow the fall for the lie of the devil.
Amen.
Because living God's way is the very best way.
Praise the Lord.
To live. Don't waste your life learning that lesson the hard way. Learn from this aged man and the aged saints around you that are living for God today.
Amen.
That can look back on their life and say, don't do it. You won't profit. So we see number one. Let's say it together here. Number one, lesson one. Ready? Remember, everything I have is from God. Lesson number two, remember, living God's way is the very best way to live. All right, lesson number three. Come on up, Isaiah, if you don't mind. Let's go back to our text if you're not there. We see lesson number three, not only the perspective David had, the principle David learned, but thirdly, we're going to say, the place David saw himself. Well, how did David view himself spiritually? Notice in verse 5, he throws in this thing, which is pretty interesting. He says, although my house be not so with God. That's what he said. I'm not there yet.
Amen.
I haven't arrived. He says his house isn't what it ought to be. In other words, he's telling us this. Ready? Lesson number three from the aged. Let's read it together if you can. If not, listen to it. We'll read it the second time. Remember, don't ever think that you've arrived. Well, I've been a member of this church for 40 years. That's good. But where are you spiritually?
Amen.
And you still haven't arrived.
Right.
Sorry. Because none of us have.
Amen.
Imagine the man, this man that God chose to be king over Israel, reigned for 40 years in Israel. God himself called him a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
In 1 Samuel 13:14. God called him in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 36, a man of God. And this is the man that God mentions in his word in 968 verses of the Bible, whose lineage the Lord Jesus Christ would be born through. even the Lord Jesus Christ would be referred to as the Son of David.
Amen.
David. He didn't think that of himself.
Right. Amen.
That man that did all of that and has been around the block, if you don't mind
Amen.
Me saying it that way, never got to the place that he thought he arrived spiritually. Never did. You see, we can't ever get to the place, folks, that we don't think we need any more preaching.
Right.
Sunday night's not that important. I've heard those sermons. You know, Pastor Fowler preached through the life of David. We don't need that again. I don't know if he did. I'm just saying that. I've heard things about, I know that verse. I'll just take a nap during this sermon because, you know, that's an old verse. I've heard that. Don't ever get to the place where we don't think we don't need to read our Bible every day.
Amen.
And pray every day.
Amen.
And don't ever get to the place where you think, well, other people will give. It's not that important. You know, I've done my part over the years. Or that witnessing can be done by others. Or that special meetings are not important. Or serving in a ministry is not that important. Well, we must never think that. We must all remember, no matter how old we are, we can all do better.
Amen.
All of us.
Praise the Lord.
There's always something, isn't there? Time I hear preaching, I say, oh, there's another
Amen.
Spot. There's another spot. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Many of you know him. From 1942 to 1983, went into evangelism after that. During his ministry, he saw some 61,000 professions of faith. He started Tennessee Temple University, Temple Baptist Seminary, Camp Joy, on and on, churches and preaching stations all over the place. He helped to start Southwide Baptist Fellowship. He lived to be 97 years old. I had the privilege, one of the pastor's colleges, going down to it, and he was probably about 95. I think it was 90, maybe it was 96, because he was 95 the year before, or he was turning 96. And they did an interview with him. I'll tell you what, I felt like this scene in David, I wanted to listen to this man.
Amen.
I didn't think he was just some old guy, I didn't know what he's talking about. Oh, oh no.
Praise the Lord.
Oh no. That man's been around.
Praise the Lord.
When he was interviewed by someone, he was asked this question, what would you do different? He said this, I'd read my Bible more.
Amen.
And I'd pray more.
Amen.
I would almost guarantee that he read his Bible and prayed.
Amen.
I would. He had the power of God upon him.
Praise the Lord.
But he never thought he arrived.
Amen.
He never thought, well, I don't need preaching. I don't need Jubilee. I don't need the missions conference. I don't need that. I've done all. Never got there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And we must never either.
Right.
Young person, don't think because you've heard a bunch of Sunday schools, grown up in the church, grown up in the Christian school, memorize all these verses. Don't be throwing your chest out saying, yeah, I got this thing down. Nope, you're not going to get it down for your whole life. Because none of us have. We got to keep going and going and working and praying and so forth. 2 Peter 3:18, this is for every believer, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's for all of us. Grow in grace. Philippians 1:6, we had this in our Sunday school lesson. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. And there's a fourth thing, and we're done here. Not only the perspective David had, the principle David learned, the place David was, and let's read them together. Lesson number one, remember, everything I have is from God. Number two, remember, living God's way is the very best way to live. Lesson number three, remember, don't ever think you've arrived. And there's one more thing. Come on up, Olivia. Number four. Notice what David says here in verses 6 and 7. He says, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. David's kind of saying here, the sons of Belial, those are those that aren't saved, the enemies of God, the heathen, those that hate God and hate the word of God. He says, they're not going to be taken away. I wish they were. Not when I was one, but now that I'm not one, you know. That's kind of the way we do it, right? And then he goes on to say in verse 7, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, notice, and they shall be utterly burned with the fire in the same place. David's speaking here of unbelievers, evil men. He calls them thorns here. They cannot be taken with hands. Again, those that oppose the work of God, those that oppose the word of God, they'll always be here in this world.
Right.
But David says, they'll be utterly burned with fire in the same place. What's he saying here? Lesson number 4 from the aged. Remember, God will deal with wrongdoing in his time. God's going to deal with all this stuff. You see, we sit here in our lives, and as we get a little bit older and we see more about what's going on in this world, particularly the last 4 or 5 months, where we're witnessing with our eyes things that are blatantly wrong, and it's as if nobody's noticing it.
Right.
What?
Right.
What? And as if we're crazy for saying something
right.
of what's going on.
Exactly.
I mean, what do you think? We're dumb? You think we're stupid? We see what's going on
Amen.
Here. We're not dumb. And if we're not careful, it'll change our spirit, small s. It'll change our attitude. It'll put us a little bit on edge. It'll get us frustrated. We'll get short-fused in our life unless we realize this last truth that David's trying to teach us. God will deal with wrongdoing in his time. He will. You see, don't let what you see going on in this world, the evil, the sin, the ungodliness, cause you to let up or give up. You keep going for God. Just give them over to God and understand our God will take care of it in his time. One last passage. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. This is lesson number 4 in a psalm. By the way, this is from David the aged. Look at verse 25, what he says, and then we're going to go back to verse 1. He says, I have been young and now am old. Here's the aged David speaking. Look at verse 1, what he's trying to teach us here. The same lesson, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, we want all people to be saved. We get that, right? We know God does too. He is not willing that any should perish, and we shouldn't rejoice at this. But if they don't, God's going to deal with them. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath.
Amen.
What are we going to do? Let's do something. Let's rumble. That's what the flesh wants to do, right? Oh, yeah. No, it's not right. We don't do that. No violence. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
David is telling us to cling to the promises of God, that if you don't mind me saying it this way, he's got this.
Praise the Lord.
He's got it. Don't worry, he's got it. He's got it under control. So I wonder tonight, you want a God-blessed life?
Amen.
Only one shot at life.
Amen.
It's done, it's done. It's over.
Right.
Then let's listen to those that have traveled the road of life before us.
Amen.
Because they can teach us a lot. And David certainly is one of them. He's looking back and he's saying, hey, remember, everything you have is from God. Don't be prideful about what you're doing and what God has blessed you with. young person here. Remember, living God's way is the very best way to live. Don't be fooled by the devil. Amen. Don't think that some other way is going to work out for you. It's not. Remember, don't ever think you've arrived. We must never get to the place, well, I got this thing. No, we haven't. We have to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. And then also remember, as we look out on what's going on all around us, that God will deal with wrongdoing in His time. Amen. You may give those back to me and sit down. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. I know you stayed a long time with your arms up, especially you. Thank you for that. Do you want to finish well?
Amen.
I do.
Praise the Lord.
Let's listen to David.
Amen.
And those that have gone before us and trying to give us some advice. Young person, the older folks in this church, and I know I missed a few as I looked out preaching, and I'm sorry, I said, I should have said those people. I should have said those. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. But look at those that are here and living for God.
Amen.
Don't see them as someone, they don't get it. They don't understand the youth. They understand a lot more than you think.
Praise the Lord.
And they can help you.
Amen.
They can save you a lot of grief, a lot of heartache, if you just listen to their godly counsel.
Thank you, Jesus.
The speaking of a king.
Amen.
Worth listening to, if you ask me.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's pray.